Somebody texted today, it's paralysis by analysis, you know? And I'm reminded of what my wife always says, don't let the perfect get in the way of the doable. Mm-hmm. If we are looking at a doable project, we know for all the analyses it will not negatively impact our base system, and yet we, for whatever reason, we can't seem to pull the trigger, and I find that disappointing.
Hey guys, welcome back. Brand new Yolitics here. You know, last week we talked about the problems Dallas has. Mm-hmm. Dallas has got plenty of problems.
Yes, it does.
Everybody's moving out of downtown Dallas, but I don't think that Dallas has anywhere near the problem that our friends in Corpus Christi have.
Yeah, at least for now anyway, Dallas has enough water. Now, you know, whether that holds in the future, we'll see. But I don't know if you've been keeping up with this. Corpus Christi has really been wrangling this problem with enough water to go around for all of its residents, its businesses, its industrial users. And it's getting pretty dire down that way. And they're having to do some pretty big things to try to address that.
And we've talked about this on our political program called Inside Texas Politics. We've had this guest on there, too, that we're going to introduce you to in just a moment. But the bottom line here is Corpus Christi is running out of water. They haven't had a significant rainfall event in a number of years. There's new industry that's moved in. The coastal bend there is growing. And then you have the Nueces River, which it relies on, which the city relies on for a water source.
Yeah.
And it is drying up too. So the city's talking about drilling new wells, and I think those are underway. I think they're trying to get the TCEQ, the state permission, for that to happen. But at the end of the day, you know, I've asked people this in Corpus a number of times. How are you guys out of water? Because you're
right
there on the Gulf of America, or Gulf of Mexico, whatever you want to call it.
You got a lot of water sitting right
there.
So
the city realizes that. The city's talking about building a desalination plant to desalinate the water, the salt water there, and actually use that. But that's, you know, easier said than done, we've discovered.
And if you, you know, think, well, this is a Corpus problem, you know, I need to think about that, that's way down there. You know, it could come to a city near you as well, number one. And number two, what happens in Corpus doesn't just stay in Corpus. A lot of us don't have a great appreciation for the amount of stuff that comes to us because of Corpus Christi, because of that port there, and because of the refineries there. And so we're bringing in Mark Scott. He is a city council member at large there in Corpus Christi. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. I know that you're doing this after a marathon meeting that we're going to talk about here in just a second. But first, can you lay the land for us here and just tell us what the situation is in Corpus Christi as it stands right now?
First, just so you kind of understand our economics, I'm told all the ibuprofen in North America is made in a facility, a chemical plant in our neighborhood. Most of the liquefied natural gas that goes to Europe comes out of one of our liquefied natural gas facilities, and they just permitted three more. We call them trains. So they're going to be supplying the world with liquefied natural gas. The jet fuel, the DFW, with a line now going to Bergstrom, and the line they're building going to San Antonio International Airport, is refined here in Corpus Christi. I mean, what we say is what happens in Corpus Christi affects the world. We are the third, which maybe we might be second now, third largest exporter of crude in the world. They say it's a place in one of the locations in Iran. There's something in Saudi Arabia and in Corpus Christi. So I mean, we really are pretty significant to what happens around us. There is some conversation that we make a lot of jet fuel for the military. I can confirm nor deny. I'm not completely sure. But my point is, it's more than just what happens in Corpus. But we're in dire need. We, the state of Texas, the TCEQ, requires water providers to make drastic changes if they get within 180 days of running out of water, such that you change your demand such that it meets the supply, right? So you can't run out of water. And we've created this dashboard that looks forward and predicts our future. And right now it says we would go into this critical phase in December of this year, which means in December of this year, we would have to reduce consumption by 25%, including the refineries. You can imagine the impact that might have on the Texas, if not the world economy. So it's dire. Now, in fairness, we have had rain in the last couple of weeks. We get a lot of water from Lake Texana, which is a lake north of Victoria. It was at, 56%? It's now at 100%. Lake Corpus Christi, which is one of our lakes, we call them in the western watershed, was at, I think it was 8%. Now I think it's at 23%. So we do have a little bit of reprieve, but we are way not out of the woods yet.
And make sure people understand this here. Is this exaggeration that Corpus could actually run out of water if things don't change?
Yeah, so we are, by law, we can't run out of water. The state makes us change our usage such that you never run out of water. And I think that goes back with what happened up in North Texas years ago.
But
so
by,
we would technically...
By law is one thing. Written down on paper is one thing. But you know, what happens on the ground realistically could be something else. I mean, so let's say everything dried up. And what would happen? Would you truck in water? I heard that was one of the things that was under consideration, if it ever got that bad.
Yeah, no. So I don't think we use the term running out of water. But I think the reality is we would never actually run out of water. We get a lot of water from a pipeline we built 20 something years ago. And then we get a lot of water from the river system. Now, I guess if, you know, something catastrophic happened to the pipeline, and we had no water in the river, then we would be in a pickle, but it would be a short-term crisis and fix the pipeline and continue. We bring water from the Colorado River, just south of Houston, and Lake Texana, which is north of Victoria, and it comes in this 6-foot-wide pipeline. Mm. And that's really, instantly, what's keeping us afloat now. Mm. You mentioned in your opening, we have drilled a series of wells along our river down about 900 feet. We're taking water out of the groundwater, and we're putting it in our river system that comes down to our treatment facility. So, but the reality is, you said it right, we're looking at all the water we'd ever need, and it's desalination, and that's a hot topic in Corpus as early as 2:30 this morning.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, because it's a timely thing to talk about. How long was this council meeting that you all just went through to discuss this again?
Yeah, well, the total council meeting was 17 and a half hours.
We started
at 9 a.m. No breaks. I mean, maybe 15 minutes here, 5 minutes there.
Wow.
And what I think, and this is, I was telling my friends, I promised to behave myself, but this is what frustrates me. It was a 17 and a half hour meeting, and we literally made a $1 billion decision at 2:30 this morning in the 17th and a half hour. And that's just, in my opinion, bad public policy, right? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be, it's 17 hours into a meeting or hearing and then make a $1 billion decision, but that's what we did.
Yeah, it's almost like locking me in a room and asking me to confess by hour 17 I might do it, even if I didn't do it, you know?
I'm making stuff up in the 17th hour. Whatever I got to say to get out of here, right?
Yes to whatever. So tell us about this $1 billion decision here, because that sounds substantial.
Yeah, so just some background. We started the process in 2014, 2015 to look for that next water supply. So good public policy is to be ahead of the curve, right? So we had water in 2015 because we extended our pipeline. So, all right, let's look for the next one. It was decided desalination was the way to go. We had industry, the port, the city, all these different entities. They looked at 35 sites, you know, worked its way down over 6-8 years, came to the conclusion the right site was a facility inside our ship channel, inside, they call it Inner Harbor. Mm-hmm. Began the permitting process, got it fully permitted in the spring of last year, hired a company to design it and build it, Kiewit, which is a U.S. company. And then through a series of decisions, the council terminated that agreement, which, by the way, has caused a lot of consternation in our bond rating agencies, because that was a way we could stop the bleeding. Keep in mind, desal is not, you don't do it in a day, but if you can at least backstop, if your citizens and the state and the feds know that, and your bond rating know that you're going to have water in 3 years, they're like, okay, Mm-hmm. Now, what are we doing to get to 3 years? So anyhow,
just
we
to,
killed it.
Just to interrupt you real quickly, for people who don't know what desal or desalinization is, it's basically
good
you're pulling
point.
Water out of the ocean or the sea or the inner harbor
the Gulf
there.
Gulf of America.
Gulf of Mexico. And you're pulling that water out and you're taking the salt out of it, you're treating it, and you're treating it and turning it into drinking water. So just for people who aren't familiar with desalination.
Yeah,
so it was approved years ago. Then it was stopped, and then you all get to this marathon council meeting. What happens now?
Then we hire, we decide we're going to go with the second bidder, a company called Axiona, and they build these all over the country. They come in, they say, hey, we think we can do it. We'd like a chance. There's a contract for $78 million that they would design it and provide what's called a GMP, guaranteed maximum price. So they, hey, pay us to design it. Then we will give you a guaranteed maximum price. And if you hire us, it won't go above that. You don't have to hire us because you'll have a design plan. Anyhow, last night was to hire the company to design it. And there were consternation amongst the council. And we decided to table that decision for 3 months while we do additional environmental analyses. By the way, most of which has already been done, if not once, several times already. But that was the council's will. So we delayed the decision for 3 months, which, by the way, impacts our lending from the state of Texas. I mean, it was a big decision to delay this because it causes some problems with our lenders.
Councilman, can the city afford to keep delaying this? I was frankly shocked when I got up this morning and looked at the headlines expecting to see the passage from city council, but in the 7-2 vote, you guys delayed the decision to what, September the 1st? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, we cannot afford to delay this. Number one, we've got permission to borrow $750 million from the state, low interest loans, a great deal. We've actually borrowed $226 million to spend only on that project. And if you don't do that, they call it defeasement. The state will make us pay them back and pay penalties and interest because they loaned us money to do something we chose not to do. And then think about it. And the next lender is going to go, really? If I loan you money, you're really going to do, the project you say you're going to do? So I don't think we can afford to do this much longer. I will tell you, I voted to table. And I did that because I think we would have killed the project last night had we not tabled it. And I think that's more catastrophic than simply putting it off for 90 days. So it lives to be debated another day.
Councilman, you mentioned the money from the state there. In the past, Governor Abbott has said that the state has been actively involved trying to help with things there, giving the city $750 million to address the water problems. And he says they squandered it. First of all, what's your assessment of that analysis by the governor?
I support most of what the governor said. I've talked to him a couple of times and talked to his leadership team. He didn't give us $756 million. They gave us low-interest loans that we have to pay back. I do think we squandered some of that money, right? We spent a bunch of that money with the first proposal. I think it's $40 million, and then terminated it. So I do think we have used some of that money poorly. But I also think if we move forward with Axiona and build a 30 million gallon a day desalination plant, all will be well. I think that's what the governor wants. We've been working with our congressman to get federal money. As a side note, we have learned that there's a deadline on a federal grant which would occur before we vote on this again. So that's a, kind of an issue we need to resolve. So,
well, the governor,
I think he's mostly
said,
right, but not completely.
He also said that Corpus Christi is a victim not of a lack of water, but a lack of decision making. Do you agree with him on that? It sounds like you do.
I do. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I completely agree. This is a decision makers' lack of ability to make hard decisions. Somebody texted today, it's paralysis by analysis, and I'm reminded of what my wife always says, don't let the perfect get in the way of the doable. Mm-hmm. If we are looking at a doable project, we know for all the analyses it will not negatively impact our base system, and yet we, for whatever reason, we can't seem to pull the trigger, and I find that disappointing.
Last little note about the governor. He has said we're going to give him a little bit more time before Texas has to step in and take control of the situation, micromanage that city, run that city. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure how that would happen because he's going to be up against the same issue we are, which is like you still got to design it, then you got to either let the design team build it or, you know, bid it out. So I think he's still got the same timelines we have. But I certainly understand. I get it. This is important to the state. The president was down here back in March saying this is important to the federal, you know, the federal government. So at some point, if we can't do it, I suspect somebody else will.
And Councilman, when you say paralysis by analysis, I like that. Yeah. But people listening to this say, might say, listen, Councilman Mark Scott, you're on the council. You're voting in these things. Why do you guys continue to delay it?
Well, I have not voted to delay until last night, well, until this morning, and I did that because I think we would have killed it. And I could be wrong, by the way, and I'm still, it's only at 2:30 in the morning, I'm not sure you really are completely sure of the votes you're taking, incidentally. But I've been, and I've told this to the governor, I voted for the project, I've been supportive of the project, you know, I'm not the issue. And the response was, well, you're 1 in 9, so you're part of the issue. And I own some of that. I feel I'm sorry I couldn't do more to get us over the hump so far.
What are you hearing right now from constituents, from businesses, from refineries around there about the vote to delay this till September?
Well, there's two things. One, the industry needed to know kind of what would happen if we go into level one water emergency, and we did vote that through yesterday, and so that they at least know what their future could be. I think they're best. I talked to many of them, and there were several in the room, one of which had a flat tire after the council meeting, and I had to go pick up at 3 in the morning and help to the hotel. But they're beside themselves, and they're all trying to develop their own projects at exorbitant costs because you still got to make, you know, whatever you're making. I think constituents, polling says 70% of Corpus Christians trust desal, want desal, and incidentally, want government to do desal. They don't want to privatize our water system because that's part of what's going on. I think there are private projects that are trying to kill the one project that we are permitted, that is permitted, because if you don't do it, then you got to find something else. So I think there's a lot of competition at work. Trying to say, pick me. I think a lot of the Corpus Christi woke up this morning and said, geez, you guys are incapable of doing that which needs to be done. So,
And what do you say to them, though?
I say, I'm trying. I'm trying. I thought we would vote it through last night. You know, as most things, the details are important stuff. We did another study called a far field model. We want to make sure it doesn't hurt the environment far away, near field, far field. We thought those results came back and said no negative impact, but there are people in Corpus that says it's not good enough, so we need to do additional studies, and that's what we got bogged down in. I understand the frustration. I think it's justified. I think the federal frustration's justified. Our congressman's frustrated. I think our governor's frustrated. I think our local industry's frustrated. I think the business community is frustrated. But these are the cards, at least I've been dealt, and I'm doing all I can to move it forward.
Well, that's a lot of frustration all the way around there.
Yes,
Councilman
sir.
Scott, let's talk about these industrial users there. As you started off here at the top, big things happen in Corpus Christi. A lot is made, a lot is sent, a lot is goes through that port there that affects all of us here in this state. You have a lot of big industrial users. They consume the majority of the region's water there. You know, there have been questions that have been asked. I mean, you're, you know, a councilman now. You were a councilman for 12 years before in the earlier 2000s. there have been a lot of questions asked. Did Corpus Christi get ahead of itself? Did it allow too much development from, you know, industry there without thinking of the long-term water needs? Is there any way that you all would have been able to foresee this a decade ago, 2 decades ago? And I ask that because other cities in Texas have got to be wondering the same thing about where they are. Like, are we in jeopardy of becoming the next Corpus Christi in this sense?
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw this drought of record. It is by a factor worse than anything we've ever seen. I mean, it is an extraordinarily worse drought than anything we've ever seen. And that would be my message is, and this I said it yesterday at the council meeting, I am never going to trust our lake system again. Just not going to do it. Let's build a system that supplies adequate water without the lakes. And then we can use the lake water when it fills up, take some of our systems down for maintenance and, you know, improvements. But I think the message is you just think you've been in the drought of record, but wait till the next one comes. And that's what's been catastrophic to us. Nobody saw how bad this drought would be. Now, we did know we were selling water 10 years ago. We initiated the plan to get more water, and that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to be ahead of the curve. We saw the answer in 2019. We just have failed to implement the answer. So it's not about preparation. It's about inability to do that, what needs to be done.
You've served on committees with the Texas Municipal League, though. You've dealt with people from other municipalities. Is this something that, you know, others should be worried about here in this state? Because, I mean, there was a point at which Corpus had plenty of water.
Right. So, if you're using groundwater, I think that game is changing profoundly in the next legislative session. We have wells that we've drilled in the last 2 years, and that really is what's helping us. But we've tried to buy water from another groundwater project that probably should have gotten their permits, but haven't, because it's a new world. So if you're on groundwater, or you're thinking about getting on groundwater, and you think you're going to get 10 gallons, I wouldn't expect 10 gallons. I just think that if you're getting 10 gallons a day, you're probably going to get 8 tomorrow, because I just think there's this focus on limiting groundwater. And if you're getting it from surface water, just if you think your drought of record went from 10 gallons to 6, expect it to go to 3. I'm not smart enough to know global warming, but I am smart enough to say never trust your lake system again. And I think that's what we're working towards.
And Councilman, let's talk about the actual impact to people who live there. You guys are talking about this 25% reduction that you might get to. If I'm a family of five and I live right there in the coastal bend inside, you know, Corpus, what do I do differently? Do I take less showers? Do I, you know, wipe my dishes off as opposed to putting them in the dishwasher? Wash my clothes, you know, once a week, wear them twice? What do you do differently to cut out 25% of your usage?
So we eliminated lawn watering about a year ago.
Car washing too, right, you said?
You can do it out of a bucket,
car
right?
No, we still love car washes, yeah.
Okay.
And in our new...
Got to drive clean cars, man.
I know. Well, yeah, now it's raining. We eliminated watering, that saved us about 50%. So if you were using 10,000 gallons then, you're probably using 5 now. And the way we have done this 25% reduction, we're doing on basically what you used to use. So the reality is, the residential ratepayer can probably get by doing tomorrow what they're doing today and meet that. Because they already have. The reality was homeowners were already reducing their usage in excess of 25% already. So we didn't want to, you know, penalize them twice. So I think they're going to be okay. But what's happening is people are putting their houses up. Engineers like, hey, look, if you're going to curtail my chemical plant, I'm out of here. So I might as well get out of here now. So that, I think, number one, people don't want to move to Corpus. Number two, projects don't want to come to Corpus. I talked to a large senior housing project out of Chicago. I don't know the details, but they said, Mr. Scott, we don't, We're not sure we want to come to Corpus because if we don't have water, why would we invest $30 million? And so it's affecting investment. It's affecting people relocating. And it's causing people to start to put their houses for sale because they're thinking, I better get what I can now before everybody puts their house for sale. So
is that driving costs down? Like
It's flattened out. Yeah, I think sales prices have flattened out, but I haven't paid that much attention to it. I just know anecdotally, because I'm in the business, that realtors have said they've been listing houses of people that are putting their house up to move on.
Boy, the dominoes are already falling there. The dominoes are already falling, though. You know, when that first one gets knocked down, it affects so many other different things. And you were mentioning that a lot of these people have pulled back their water consumption, you know, in a residential sense, up to now anyway, just so people understand, am I right? Industrial users have not had to pull back, but that's what you're talking about. If you get into that next level of drought, that's when they have to start pulling back and everything goes haywire.
Well, yeah, just and they would tell you that industrial projects would say, hey, they curtailed, they cut back just like we did. Like our Mark can't water his yard, they haven't watered their landscape. And so they've been playing by the same rules. But yeah, if you start to cut, Exxon's plant 25%, and I think the bigger projects can probably make 25%. But I don't know. And what gets me is the message it sends out, right? Do I really want to come to Corpus? Do I want to invest in Corpus? Which is, by the way, if we would have approved the Inner Harbor design contract tomorrow, the message would have been, oh, hey, they're moving forward. They've got these, I call it today water. You know, they've got these projects to get them through a couple of years. And now they've got this backstop that's going to make sure that they're healed in 3 years. I think that's a much better conversation to sell than the one we're stuck with today.
So I've talked to you a few times as we kind of follow this whole saga. You sound a little more hopeful right now, though, than you have in the past, even though you guys and the council delayed the vote. Am I reading that right? Are you more hopeful about where things are right now?
You started laughing when he said hopeful.
Yeah, no, I'm not more hopeful. I just promised somebody earlier I'd behave myself. No, I'm not. I'm pessimistic. I call it the shiny objects. I'm pessimistic of the people I serve with, right? So I call it the shiny object syndrome. Somebody comes forward and says, hey, I don't know why you're doing Inner Harbor. We're going to make water for half the cost. And we go, oh my goodness, we're going to make water for half the cost. Well, no, they're not, you know, and it's not permitted. It's just words on a piece of paper. And so that's what's happened is we're chasing shiny objects because it's very expensive to do seawater desalination. As example, we get river water for $1 per 1,000 gallons. We get pipeline water for $3 per 1,000 gallons. Desalination will cost $8.50, you know, so it's a lot more. But I would tell you, it beats the alternative of, you know, not having water. So no, yeah. I'm pessimistic, and that's not a good place for me. It's not my natural tendency. But we have looked at the solution multiple times and passed on it for other what. An example is we committed to another project in San Patricio, which is the county across the bay, because they were going to get the permits. Well, guess what? They didn't get the permits. And so now a project that we thought would be underway and by December of last year is now maybe 2 years away. And so, again, don't let the perfect get in the way of the doable. And so that's my pessimism is we keep looking at the doable and not doing it. And by the way, other council members would vehemently disagree with me, but that's my opinion.
Well, that's what leads to 17 and a half hour meetings. There's a lot of disagreement for sure.
Right.
Big disagreements over an even bigger issue. And you know, I guess we have to understand everybody's positions and everybody's passions on this. A lot of folks worried about the environment because of a desal plant there. And rightly so. I mean, Corpus Christi, you know, depends, of course, on those natural resources all around. My last question for you would be, you mentioned that the federal government really wants this. They have an eye on this because of Corpus Christi's significance. The state obviously wants this fixed. But, you know, you've gotten some criticism piling on from outside of Corpus Christi, from other elected leaders. What would actually be helpful, you know, aside from criticisms and acknowledging that there's a problem there, what would you ask for from the federal government or the state government right now if they're listening to this?
I chuckle because I have one of these conversations with my state leadership. So the conversation goes like this. We supply the world with crude. We supply the state with jet fuel. We supply the country with ibuprofen. We would ask for some financial help and not a loan, right? A grant. It would seem to me that if we are this important to the state and the federal government or the country, there might be federal funds to help invest. And I've thought that all along. I thought that it's a billion-dollar plant. If we could get $250 million in grants, I think we could. I think the council would do it. So that would be my ask. And I made that ask in one of my meetings at the state. I was told not to go in there and ask for that. I did, and then was reprimanded for crossing the line.
Who reprimanded you, and what was their answer?
Oh, the answer was, well, what the person that set up the meeting was, hey, you're going in there just to say you're trying, but don't make an ask. Because the state, I think the state says, look, we've given you this low interest loan, which is extraordinary, 3.25% when the market rate is, I don't know, 6%. So that's not insignificant. What I got was, thank you very much. I hear what you're asking. That's not the purpose of our meeting today. So they didn't slap me around. They just smiled and said, we hear you and move on. But we are making a grant application to the federal government. Our congressman has been very helpful through the Bureau of Reclamation. It's wonderful politics at the federal level. They have this grant program for up to $30 million. We're like, it's a billion-dollar plan, $30 million. So they've changed the rules to give up to $120 million. With the potential, what they call plus up. So we're working that. And I think I'm hopeful that we could get federal funds, but only if we have a project with which to ask for federal funds to help with. And that's
why you have to agree first at the local level on what you're going to do.
And I think we're a little bit of a chicken and egg, like, well, we're not going to vote until they put some money up. And the feds are going, we're not going to put money up until you have a project to present to us. So.
Jason's last question was about, you know, what would you ask for from lawmakers? You and I, last time we talked, I said, you know, one of the things you might ask for from Mother Nature might be a pretty good low-pressure rainstorm coming ashore, right? To fill up the rivers and things like that?
Well, and that's what's interesting. We've had, golly, I think 15, 18 inches of rain in the last couple of weeks. And at least one of my council members like, hey, we're in a hurry now. We got water, you know, so that's the flip side of all that is like, hey, it rained. We're not in a hurry. We don't need to do desal, and which is where I default to. I will never, never trust my lake system again. We need to build a system that can survive without rain and then manage it accordingly. But so we have gotten rain, and then this is the El Nino. We think we're going to get more rain this year. But again, my concern is we get a little bit of rain and we decide we don't need to do the next water supply, and then, you know, here we are 2 years from now. Number one, we're way far away from being out of the crisis, so just because we got 18 inches doesn't mean we can breathe again. And number two, if we did get out of the crisis, I hope to goodness we don't, you know, pass on this opportunity to provide some water security.
Boy, so, that's stunning. Yeah, that's stunning when you
hear
18
inches. We talked
about rain
and you've got us rain.
But it's stunning when you say that, and that's still not enough, you know. Uh-huh. And you find yourself in this position of actually hoping for, you know, a tropical wave or a tropical storm there on the coast, which is not usually the case.
And I heard a couple of people talking, a couple of Democrats talking, getting ready for the convention. They're having their state convention in Corpus Christi, as you likely know, may know there. And I wasn't part of the conversation, but I heard one of them talking about, you know, it's upcoming here pretty shortly. And the other one said, well, make sure you take water when you go because I'm not sure if the city's going to have it. So I kind of had a little chuckle out of that.
I do want to relay that we haven't just put all our eggs in that one desal basket. Yeah. We've got a large effluent reuse. We're taking mm-hmm. all a bunch of our effluent, and we've got it going to industry, and we think
that's
they're
the
buying
treated sewage water. You treat it, it's clean. It usually goes off into a creek, and then in the environment gets filtered further, but you're turning that around and sending it back to industrial?
Right. So you either put it in the drinking system or let industry. And then so it takes industry off our potable water, right, which frees the potable water up for you and I to drink. So that's 16 million gallons a day when it's all said and done. And that's underway. And Valero's been very helpful. They're building like a $90 million pipeline that they're going to deed to the city. So it's not like we're not – I don't want you to think we're just sitting around, you know, A, praying for rain, or B, focusing on desal. We have been doing other things, the well system. We did try to buy this water in San Patricio, the effluent reuse. But the reality is you need desalination as part of your basket. And we need to figure out a way to get that done.
Wow. Mark, good luck to you guys, man. I know we'll talk before September the 1st, and hope these studies go pretty well between now and then, because I know a lot of folks are looking for something to actually happen. But thanks as always for taking our call, man.
Yeah, now that hurricane season is underway, here's hoping that you all get some good beneficial rainfall without the damaging aspects of those storms as well. Really appreciate you taking the time, especially after a 17 and a half hour meeting the night before.
Get some rest. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you guys.